Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening to Blue Hardwood, the place to be to talk Dallas Mavericks. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to rate and review the show. We appreciate the extra mile you're going to leave an Apple Podcast review. And now, without further ado, here are two people who give out more honey buns at the club than James Harden, Lauren Gunn, and Brian Zillum.
There she is. What's up?
Hello, hello. Sorry, I was having a little bit of technical difficulties, I think.
No worries.
How are you? It's been a minute.
I know, it has been a minute. Doing okay. Good. You ready to rip and run?
I am ready. Let's do it.
All right. Coolio. All right. Well, we would like to first and foremost formally welcome everybody to our new permanent time slot. We will be recording the podcast weekly through Locker Room at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time every Monday. So thank you so much for tuning in. And general format, Lauren and I will be really just chitting and chatting Mavs. And if time permits, if we need to go across the NBA, we will. But until then, let's just dive in and talk about these preseason games, Lauren. So we actually had an official preseason game happen this weekend for the Mavericks. I wanted to actually start off by saying, God damn, the NBA's got to get their heads out of their ass on making these preseason games accessible. What a fucking beating. Like, to the third and fourth degree. Like, oh my God, just ridiculous. I called DirecTV. That's who I have. I don't have to go through, you know, I'm not a cord cutter per se. I called DirecTV and I was like, yo, bro, why can't I check out these games? Apparently, from what DirecTV was letting me know, the package didn't go into effect until like December 13th. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? And I shouldn't complain because at least at the end of the day, I have Fox Sports Southwest, which the preseason game number two for the Mavs against the Bucks should be on tonight. But like, what a beating. I had to like stream like from my phone to my Apple or from my Amazon Fire Stick. It was just very inconvenient, and just for they're trying to like, especially if I'm already pre-purchasing a product, like if I completely understand if I had, you know, if I wasn't already like a recurring member of this service, but dude, NBA, you got to get that shit together, man. That's just like, we shouldn't have to stream a preseason game from Mavs.com. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't mind the Milwaukee broadcast. I'm not sure where you enjoyed the game, but I mean, the NBA League Pass option only provided the Milwaukee broadcast, and they were fine. Yeah, I didn't mind it either way. Obviously, I prefer the great voice of follow, but you know, at the end of the day, I was just happy I finally figured out a way to watch the game.
Yeah, I actually streamed it through Mavs.com, and yeah, it did suck a little bit that it wasn't just available through Fox Sports Southwest at first. Obviously, like you said, tonight is available, is going to be on Fox Sports Southwest. But yeah, so we actually had a little bit of trouble at my house. I don't know if it was like something up with my computer, but we couldn't get it to go full screen for a minute. And so I was like, well, this sucks. Like, this really sucks if I can't even get this to go full screen. But luckily, we were able to figure it out, and we got it full screen, and it actually was the normal crew, Falwell, Harp, and all of them. And they actually did a great job. It might as well have been Fox Sports Southwest. But yeah, it does suck a little bit. And I'm not sure if the delay was just another kink that's trying to get worked out with this season and the TV, I guess, certain deals being maybe not quite. I'm not sure how that stuff works. I just know that there were a lot of people on Twitter following the Mavs that were pretty pissed about how certain things weren't going to be available for their providers, and Fox Sports Southwest might, like, all year might be a problem. I'm not sure 100%, but hopefully tonight, I have AT&T UVerse, so I hope that tonight and moving forward, we're good, because I need that broadcast. I need those guys. Those are my guys all day over the national broadcast. I don't care to watch those. So yeah, we need our Fox Sports Southwest.
Because from what I understood, it was really just mainly the cord cutters that were having difficulties, like the Hulus, the YouTube TVs. That's what I understood. Now, either way, me and you will be covered, so don't you worry about that. We're good. But
we're good.
I do feel for, like, all those folks in the DFW area, because it seems like the outcry of that is a lot more than I ever expected. And maybe I'm a little, like, old man yelling at a cloud here, but I will never give up DirecTV just because I know. Is it necessarily the best overall service? No, but I know for 100% certainty they will always pay for those services, those channels, and I don't ever have to worry about it. And the allure of the cable cutting, like, subscriptions, right, it was so much cheaper. But now it's like they're jacking up the prices so much. Like, what's the point? Like, yeah, you may be saving like $25, $35 or whatever, but, like, if you're going to have pissing contests with Sinclair about these rights over these channels, like, you know, forget you. I would rather go to, like, a notable, like, suitable subscriber. Like, let me know. You'll have to provide everybody feedback on how that works for AT&T. But from what I understand, it was just primarily the cord cutters. And it's just unfortunate that those contracts came up during the springtime once the pandemic really hit hard. So everybody was trying to save money. So they were just like, well, we don't know what's going on right now, so we're going to just worry about it later. Because Cuban was on Super Bad Radio on 1310 The Ticket in Dallas, and he was kind of going over, and he was just like, you know, hey, it sucks. It's business. It's really out of my hand. I don't really know what to do, kind of thing. So he's an advocate for us, the fan, and being able to have access to it. But he kind of knows it's literally out of his hands.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, I guess moving forward, hopefully everybody can get it figured out and we'll just see how it goes.
Yes. But nonetheless, we did actually get to enjoy a preseason game number one, I guess, the Bucks. I actually indulged in the game officially yesterday afternoon, and I enjoyed only having to watch a game for an hour and 30 minutes. First and foremost, really enjoyed that. But my first initial, like, I guess, Maverick hot take, I was just shocked to see Dwight Powell out there, to be quite honest with you.
Kidding.
I was like, holy crap. Okay. Achilles, no problem. Just let's see, fast forward. So about 10 months later, good God, what a freaking cyborg.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy seeing him out there and running with the starting group. And there were even a couple of plays where I was like, all right, why don't we take it easy? This is just preseason.
Jeez.
But he didn't do anything too crazy, but Dwight Powell only has one speed, and it's full speed ahead. So it was good to see that and know that, I guess, going straight into the season, he'll be ready to go and he will continue to go at that speed and everything will be great. But still, that doesn't prevent me from being a little, not concerned, but just worried, because we don't need any more injuries. We don't need to have another season of constantly dealing with the injuries. I will say Rick Carlisle had a great, I guess, answer or quote before the game that was on Twitter, I believe. And that was on that they ended up showing on the Mavs.com stream. And he said that he made the point that normally you get about 6 to 7 preseason games. I think sometimes that one season before they might have even had 8, And so you've got a little bit of time to kind of get back in the flow and really just get ready for the season. But this year's a little different for so many reasons, and you've only got 3 preseason games, and they're playing maybe next Wednesday, or don't quote me on that, but they're playing in very, very soon. And so they don't have time to kind of screw around and not take things seriously or play everybody just obscene amount and a crazy amount of minutes. They've got to kind of take this seriously. And so he said that getting a look at this Milwaukee team twice is really great. And you've got to work hard for your shots to get good looks. And so they're taking these games seriously. Obviously, our starters only played 16 minutes each, which isn't super indicative of how it's going to go. But still, he tried to get everyone in there, but also maybe he was just saying that for to say it. But I don't feel like Rick Carlisle just says things to say things. So I'm going to take it for what it was. And it was good to hear that they're looking at it as, okay, we're taking it seriously. We're ready to go. And the group that they ran with, the starting five, I was perfectly okay with that. When Porzingis returns, it'll be interesting to see how that switches up. But, yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, we can dive a little bit more into person by person or player by player, but, overall, seeing the way the guys were on the bench, from the bench being so animated and I guess just involved, and they're all talking, you can see the vets kind of giving some advice, some sharing their wisdom. And so it was just, I really liked what I saw in that regard. And you can definitely tell that this is going to be another good year in terms of team chemistry, and that they're ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to say just real quick on that starting lineup. I will be honest with you. I probably don't ever want to see that starting lineup in a game ever, because so here's my just primary concern, again, based off a preseason game. Other than Luka, who can get you a bucket on that team? Who can create their own shot based on that starting lineup? You got Hardaway.
I'd say Josh Richardson can create his own shot, but it's pretty limited after that.
Exactly. That's what I was just like, ooh, Richardson, Hardaway, Dorian, you are kind of all similar-ish. Mm-hmm. And if Luka is off for whatever reason, I don't know if I ever want those. Like, I mean, obviously, it's a different story if KP's out there being able to like create and cause chaos and have people wide open for cuts and layups and things like that. That's a completely different conversation. But just to have all those guys out there at one time to start a game, I was like, ooh, don't know if I need to really see that anymore, because, mm-hmm. you know, especially with Dwight, you know, he improved his jumper, obviously, quite a bit before his injury. But I was just like, I just need a little bit more something out there. Mm-hmm. And just another critique I had for you. I mean, this is we've talked about this since me and you have been doing the pod together. But, dude, Luke has got to calm it down a little bit, man. Do we really got to get a technical in a preseason game? It's just, I get it. If he's so passionate about stuff, I was like, mm-hmm. it just, I don't like that perception. Perception is reality, and whether people want to admit it or not. And if he continues to get technicals in these games that don't mean anything, what's going to happen when a game actually means something and there is a call that goes against his way, but the officials are just like, dude, you cry about everything, so I'm not going to mm-hmm. give this to you.
Yeah, I think the whole Luka with technicals, God, it's so funny how similar it is to Dirk, because I remember there were just year after year, I would get so angry watching Dirk sometimes, just like, dude, just no, or just keep playing, whatever. But the reality is they both will complain about calls, and they're gonna say, they're just, that's not going to go away, unfortunately. So if there's anything that I have to take away or that I have to say about that, it's that I hope you learned your lesson when Porzingis got ejected last year. And if you didn't learn it then, you're never going to learn it, because that was one of the most absurd things that I've ever seen take place. And so for Luka to have to watch that happen and then have to move forward with that game and then move forward in that series being down and having to kind of go against that already a super difficult series. And now you're having to go, you're having to try and play back into it after losing a game that you probably, or you very easily could have won had Porzingis stayed in that game. So I I'd like to think that he learned his lesson, but as far as how often he's going to complain about calls, the rest of the league is going to hate his guts because everyone loves Luka. Don't get me wrong, but that is something that's going to drive other teams crazy. The same way James Harden drives me crazy when he's complaining for calls, and the same way it drives me crazy when I'm watching LeBron get his calls. But what also happens with those players is that they get ridiculous calls and they make it to the free throw line 10, 12 times a game. And eventually we are going to see that with Luka. So while he will continue to complain and complain and complain, he's also going to, with time, find himself in the category where he's making it to the free throw line over essentially nothing. So you just got to take it with a grain of salt, because the reality is he is moving into that category where you get easy calls, but he's still Luka. He loves to compete. He's super passionate about the game, and he's never going to stop complaining because he always wants to win. So I guess what I'll say is we're used to it with Dirk. We're used to the complaining, and it is what it is. Sometimes it sucks to see, sometimes it's obnoxious, but it's also nice having a generational European superstar. So I'll take the good with the bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't remember Dirk getting teased that much. I remember them vaguely. I just always remember hating to play the Spurs. And Tim Duncan, I felt like, was the biggest crybaby tea baby, like, ever. Like, I was just like, dude, Tim, shut up. Like, sit your ass down and get thrown out by, oh, God, who was that referee that threw him out when he was just sitting was it Crawford, I think, that threw him out?
It might have been. It might have been.
Yeah, it was goofy.
Yeah, I guess the thing about Dirk, and you're right, I don't necessarily remember getting as many texts as Luka will probably get. I just remember seeing Dirk always being so animated in reaction to calls, right, and not being afraid to yell and show his very clear distaste for a particular referee on any night. But yeah, with Luke, we might see a couple of more career technicals.
Probably. And I did, like, as far as the first quarter, Luka going to the paint and his actually jumper, I thought looked good. Everything else, like, within that first quarter was kind of ugly. Dwight, obviously, I was fearing for his life every time he, like, fell down. I was like, oh, God, don't die. But, right, you know, the first quarter was kind of what it was. And then it was actually the story of the game was the second and third units actually coming in and busting heads. A bigger narrative was everybody was kind of in love with what Nate Hinton did, which is great. But I really liked what we saw from Trey and Jalen and then James Johnson. I will say, man, dude, I do not think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to touch the floor at all, because he brought the ball up a couple times and just missed. I was like, Willie, what are we he was like an extra insurance policy. But if I really he's like really the tier four center that if he does play, it's going to be maybe like 5 minutes a game just to give somebody a blow. I can't really foresee anything over him, because if you've got James in there and you've got Bobby, you know, that's an additional safety net, obviously, that the Mavs have the luxury of having. But I don't need to see him playing a ton of games in the regular season. I really don't.
Yeah, I think so. I'm cool with James Johnson playing the five some. I think we'll definitely see that. The thing about Boban is it's going to absolutely depend on the team if he will be able to get on the floor. And so if you're playing teams that have super high, super fast pace, play with a super fast pace, I mean, that is what I'm not going to want to see Bobby. And I'm okay seeing Willie Cauley-Stein. I think when the season goes on, the leash is going to need to get a little bit tighter. We won't be seeing any mid-range pull-up shots or any threes from Willie Cauley-Stein. But if you need an athletic big body to be in there and just to try and box someone out, I'm okay with throwing him in there, but I do think it will be similar to Bobby. They're both going to be very situational, and I think you can only throw Willie out on certain nights, just like you can throw Boban out, and they're kind of opposites. And Willie is great around, well, I don't want to say great around the rim, but he's super athletic, and he's a rim runner, and he can get you some rebounds, and he'll get you, at 4 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 minutes. So he'll get you rebounds because he's a big dude, but I don't need him playing 15 to 20 minutes a game as my backup five by any means. And so if you, and then, and so I think you can play him against the teams that have the super fast pace. And I think you can, and I think you can play Boban instead of Willie against the teams that maybe play a little bit more slowly. So I think having those two guys being super different players is good for Rick Carlisle and is good to, though, I mean, that'll be good to have in his toolbox. But yeah, I think when it comes to Boban, there are things that Boban does that I really like, but on other nights I will hate. And same goes for Willie. So I think just picking your time there, that'll be what it'll be. And then I'm perfectly okay seeing James Johnson night in and night out.
I'm trying to look at this lineup and what we kind of saw on, from the first, second, and third units. I'm really starting to like the idea of Lauren of maybe having Maxi in the starting lineup with KP.
Okay.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I only say that just on the brief examples that we saw from the game one. You saw Giannis obviously going to the rim at ease, and no disrespect to Dwight, he's just, you know, he just can't handle that. Nobody can really, but I feel like right. Maxi is a little bit better defensively. It's better. He has better like lateral movement. He's a little bit more beefier than Dwight as far as like muscle. Mm-hmm. And if you have Dorian on there with KP, obviously KP's length that helps hide and get you away with like a smaller lineup. But I don't know. I don't really hate the idea of maybe Maxi being in the lineup now. Who gets pushed to the bench? I mean, you could really have a conversation for anybody, because I mean, if Tim goes off to and he's not having a great start to the year, I mean, maybe that's a guy that you look at moving into more of a Seth Curry role. I know that might kind of mess up the plans for Tyrell Terry and then Josh Green, but I don't know. I'm starting to talk myself into maybe Maxi starting. What do you think?
I'm cool with Maxi starting. He actually, as well as you can do against someone like Giannis, there were a couple of really great defensive possessions that Maxi had on him. And so, I mean, we've seen Maxi go up against Kawhi in that playoff series. Like, he's not bad on the perimeter. So I'd be okay with him starting. If he starts, in my opinion, he has to take Dwight Powell's spot, and it cannot be with this current group. Because I don't think you can swap Maxi for Dwight. I just don't think that works. In my opinion, they need to, when Porzingis gets back, that's when you look at a starting lineup of, in my opinion, of Luka, Josh, Tim, and then maybe if you want to kind of go Maxi, Porzingis. I don't know if they do that, because they typically like to go a little bit smaller. And if that's the case, well, I don't know, because I don't think you can move Tim to the bench. I think we kind of looked at that last year, started him on the bench a little bit, and that just didn't, it didn't, he wasn't consistent. He couldn't, he just didn't, it wasn't the same. And so you're going to obviously start Josh. So to me, there's a little bit of a, like Tim and Josh, as different as they are, they're also a little bit of redundant. So I think that might be a more long-term, I don't want to say problem, but some sort like almost like a logjam that needs to be addressed. But right now, in my opinion, they both need to start. You need to surround Luka with two shooters. And if that means you have to move Dorian to the bench, that might seem a little whack, but you added a lot of defense with Josh Richardson, and Dorian only got three looks. And yet, granted, he only played 16 minutes. We're used to him getting those corner three looks. And so if he has to come off the bench and play the four, I'm not sure if that might be a route that they look at, but I would be cool with Maxi starting, but you're going, in my opinion, that means you gotta sit him. He's gotta take Dorian's spot, because KP is gonna take the five spot. And if you end up rolling out, I could also see them rolling out Luka, Josh Richardson, Tim Hardaway, Porzingis, and Dwight. I mean, I could see that, and I'd be cool with that. But I would prefer to have Maxi and Dwight come off the bench together, because I think you either start Maxi at the four or Dorian at the four. I kind of feel like maybe you might be better off having Dwight take a back seat, because on that double pick and roll, or that it's like a one rolls, normally it's Dwight Powell, and the other pops, which is normally Porzingis. So if you can have those two in your starting group doing that double pick play, both of those guys can pop and both of those guys can roll. Dwight pops, but I don't really care for him. He normally rolls, but anytime he catches a pick and pop three, I am not very happy with it. So
no.
If you slide Maxi in there, that he kind of gives you some of the perimeter defense that you're losing if you move Dorian to the bench, but he also still gives you a good three option, and the Luka Maxi connection, it just seems like Maxi's threes go in a little bit more when they're coming from Luka. So if he makes his way into the starting lineup, I'm okay with that, but I just feel like they also tend to go smaller. So if they want to bring Maxi and Dwight off the bench, I really don't know what they're going to do, because then you also got James Johnson. So then what does that look like? So I don't know. I think the answer might be start Maxi, bring Dorian off the bench. You have bring Dorian and Dwight off the bench, start Porzingis, and then you have a backup front court of Dwight and James Johnson. And then you can still have perimeter defense with Dorian. And then you have your backcourt of Trey and Jalen Brunson with the ability to throw Josh Green in there from time to time and Boban if need be. That's what I think. That's what I would do. But then again, who am I?
Well, isn't it funny? We've only had one game, preseason game in the books, and we've discovered a potential logjam with the big situation. Right. And I'll be honest with you, I did not think about that, because in between James, Maxi, and Powell, somebody's going to have a lighter night. I don't want to say a straight DNP, but Carlisle's pretty particular on lineups sometimes. And I will say this is one thing I love about Carlisle. He has the feel of a baseball manager where he's not afraid to just go with his gut on a move, which I do admire that. But there might be games where there's a DNP for somebody. Like, it's quite possible,
no doubt,
especially when KP's back in there, and I feel like it's a great problem to have, because you almost have like a luxury of riches with these big men, and then obviously these young guys that you're trying to get minutes to, and then you're trying to win. So, but that's a Carlisle Donnie problem to worry about, where we can kind of just say, hey, why didn't you do this kind of thing? But from the kiddos, what did you think of Josh and Terrell?
So I really liked what I saw from Josh Green. I was very excited about that, because he was active. I kept watching him, finding myself saying he's active. He's trying to cut. He's trying to do things. And once he kind of gets confidence and consistency within his own role and starts getting a little bit more willing to shoot that three ball, we saw him. He attacked the rim off the dribble a little bit. And that was a concern that I had. I was like, I don't know how good he is off the dribble. I don't look at him as a shot creator, but I want to see him kind of go out of his comfort zone and attack the rim a little bit and see what he's capable of doing there. He didn't necessarily do a whole lot of like shot creating, but just seeing him be so active, I really, really liked that. And I also saw him going up against Chris Middleton a little bit. And I liked seeing him kind of take on a scorer in Chris Middleton and I mean, play defense on him pretty well. So, but yeah, I think the cutting was a major, major thing. We know that our offense moves the ball so much. There's so much passing going on. So having someone like that will cut and be active and then go right back on defense and not really miss a step and still have a lot of gas left in the tank. That is really, really appealing for me. Or to me, I guess. As far as Tyrell Terry goes, I am so super, super excited about him. Let me preface this by saying I liked the backcourt duo of the bench backcourt duo of Trey Burke and Jalen Brunson. I thought they worked really well off of each other. And they both finished with a plus 16. And I don't know. I thought that was actually a decent fit with them both being undersized guards. We're used to seeing Seth Curry back there with Jalen Brunson. So I was a little nervous to see what that duo looked like together, but I thought they did pretty well. And so Tyrell Terry seems like he will get some of the leftover minutes in the second half. I don't think we're ever really going to see much of him in the first half unless he just starts popping off. And I can't just say that based on one game, but I'm saying that because I feel like Josh Green has a little bit of a priority, over Tyrell Terry in terms of minutes, again, going back to that guard slash two guard slash wing logjam. So I'm not sure how much of Tyrell Terry we will see. It was nice to see him knock down that three but there were a couple of times I was watching him and I was like, yeah, I'm not sure that that was the best decision. I feel like another rookie that needs to get some confidence under him and he'll be good to go from there. But I think having Trey Burke and Jalen Brunson kind of being the ball handlers and then having Tyrell Terry being more of a Seth Curry, like catch and shoot guy, I think that's where he needs to be. I don't think he needs to necessarily be the ball handling playmaker. And if he shows that he can do that and that he's good doing that, I mean, he did that a little bit at Stanford, I'm fine with that. I don't know if he can do it quite yet at right now at this next level. I think he definitely will be able to do that at some point. But I'll be interested to see how he looks tonight and how he's used. I like to see him kind of go off the screen that he got. He was running off that screen and then flared back after the defender went under and found himself wide open. And Rick Carlisle even talked about him as a shooter and the threes that he took in college and how he's used to shooting from well beyond the 3-point line. So the NBA, the change to the NBA three isn't really too much of a change for him. So if he can kind of find his spot within the offense where he's getting a lot of catch and shoot looks, and even just if he is that ball handler coming off the bench and he finds himself coming off the screen or like at least using a high pick and roll and his defender keeps going under and he finds maybe 2 threes a game where he's getting wide open looks off of even just a simple play like that, I'm okay with that because I have a lot of faith in him as a shooter. But I think I want to see him get a little bit more comfortable and really find his spot within the offense, because I felt like when he got out there and when that final group of reserves got out there, they all seemed a little bit desperate to try and make something happen. That was just my perception of what I was seeing. I felt like they were really trying to make their names known and just try to leave an impression, I guess. And so I felt like Josh Green, that wasn't the case as much. I felt like he kind of knew what he needed to do. I still feel like he has some more confidence to develop and he's got more room to find, or I guess he needs to find his spot and establish himself within the rotation. But I felt like he knew where he needed to be and what he should be doing. I felt like Tyrell Terry still has a little bit of figuring out to do there, but I am not concerned about him at all. I think he will do just fine. And I'm excited to see what he can do tonight.
So do you approve of the bandana look for Terry?
Oh yes. All day long. I am full. Yes. The hair, I'm all on board with the Tyrell Terry look, one of a kind.
I feel like last time we haven't seen bandana since Wes Matthews.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I got confused for a second. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Did I just go back in time? What's going on here? But it's something different, and if he wants to rock it and kick ass, then he can definitely do that. I will say, man, it was so good to see Jalen back out there in the lineup. Oh, man, we really needed him in the playoffs. It just, he can still create and go to the basket whenever he wants to. Not obviously to the level of Luka, but it's just so nice that we can have that guy that can penetrate and gather himself and actually get to the bucket when he wants to. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to think of a name for this bench lineup of Brunson and Burke. Mm-hmm. I just, the bench mob, I kind of feel like we have to change it up a little bit. Everybody's using the bench mob name now. So,
right.
Like, I don't want to say the killer bees either. That's generic. because if Bay was actually up in the roster too, then we'd have the three bees. So
that's true.
Three bees. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We got to talk about him as well here in a minute. But before we talk about him, Jalen Brunson, the big thing that I'm going to be looking for from him this season is his ability to shoot the three with consistency, because you talked about all the things that he does as a backup, as a playmaker. I mean, he does a great job. Even though he's not the quickest backup guard or guard in general, he plays with pace and he does a really, really great job at making the right play, and just his decision making. He plays with so much maturity. I really have no complaints about him. There were a couple of, or well, more than a couple of open threes that he caught last season, that he definitely should have been able to convert on. And he just it just seemed a little off. And so I'm hoping that maybe after his shoulder recovery, that maybe he got to work on that. And maybe if he didn't, well, I'm going to blame it on the shoulder recovery, because that's obviously that was a pretty major injury for him, I guess. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I'll be looking for from him. But his ability to attack that lane, even get those little mid-range shots, that little turnaround. I don't remember if we saw a little turnaround post-up shot in this last preseason game, but that is his bread and butter. So I'll be looking to see a little bit more of that. I always love watching Jaylen. But I guess to move on, I see that you've stepped away for just a quick sec. But so I'm going to go ahead and move on to Tyler Bay, because when he got out there with that last group, he was our final second round pick, and the one that we got in the Philadelphia trade. And so it was almost like a cherry on top type thing. Like, okay, well, we had our two picks, we kept our two picks, which I never expected us to do. And not only did we keep our two, we got a third, and we took Tyler Bay. And so I was really excited to see what he would look like, because I'm not sure how much we'll get to see of him. So seeing him even with that third group, like I said before, I was a little concerned that some of those guys looked just a little bit desperate to get shots up and to make an impression. But I felt like one thing that Tyler did that was really great was he was also similar to Josh Green in that he was super active on defense. He seemed to be everywhere, just constantly just moving at one speed, at full speed. And he was very, very active. He had a couple of plays where he dove on the floor and was just putting a lot of effort in, and you can't always teach effort. So he also had a nice mid-range shot. Let's see here. I want to see if I can pull up his stats. Let's see, 15 minutes, 2 for 5 from the field, 4 points, 2 blocks. So, okay, whatever. 2 blocks, I'll take it. But I felt like he was active, and I really liked what I saw from him. And I do feel like we won't, when the regular season starts, there's a, we definitely won't, or I don't think we will see him, but I really hope that he is a guy that develops internally, and that maybe with his time in the Legends gets a lot of looks and can kind of continue to build that confidence. And maybe he'll be available or a future asset that we've got down the line to bring up. But I really, really liked what I saw from him in just that first preseason game, not to overreact one way or another, because I think there's somebody else that we also need to talk about in terms of overreactions. But when you see the good things and when you see the bad things, you definitely got to make a note without overreacting. But as far as effort goes, I really, really liked what I saw from Tyler.
Yeah, I enjoyed everything I saw from Tyler. He was trying really hard to make sure he's well-known in like Carlisle's like vision, because I did notice Carlisle pretty much played all the rookies around like the same amount of time, which I thought was kind of interesting, because everybody got around the same time. Even Hidden got around the same time too. Wes only got under 10 minutes, so I don't know if that's kind of a tell or not, if he's going to actually end up making the roster. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he is, right?
I believe so. I do believe that he's got that 15th spot. What did you think about his minutes? Like you said, he only played, what, 10 minutes? Yeah, 10 yeah. minutes. What did you think about his time out there?
I mean, it was fine. I didn't really, it didn't really raise my meter one way or another. Mm-hmm. He seems like kind of like a guy that, you know, is trying to hit the roster and, you know, get some time. He was super excited to play with Luka based on his comments once he signed with the team, which is great. I'm trying to identify, okay, we've got all these riches of players now that we're trying to get some time in, and where does he actually fit in? So I don't know. We'll see. And then obviously the signing of Courtney Lee, which was random, and I don't know if that's just more to appease Luka kind of thing, because obviously Luka is very fond of Courtney Lee, so we'll see what ends up happening with that, which is weird, because like his money like was off the books for, like this season, and now he's on the team again, so whether he's actually going to play or not, I don't know, because Courtney Lee is kind of just a guy. If he was actually getting like solid minutes over other people, like let's say Terry or Josh Green or Tyler Bay, I'd be kind of annoyed. But, you know, if Luke is happy with it, then okay, sure.
Why right. Not? Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. I saw, I don't remember who tweeted it out. You know, I'm terrible at remembering that. But somebody said the Courtney Lee signing was to essentially show other teams that he's still he can still play and he can still I guess be valuable in some shape or form, and so we will likely cut him and then he can get picked up by somebody else. So I don't know how true that is. I could see the logic behind it, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they decided to keep him around for Luka. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So we'll just see. I don't know if, I mean, are we going to see him at all in the preseason, or is he still working on some protocol stuff? I'm not sure what the deal is there. So
I know he's not with the team currently. Right. I presume he would still have to go through that same protocol like James Harden is going through, where he would have to have those 6 positive tests. Consecutively before he could join in those activities. So whether he's actually suited up for game 3 for the Timberwolves, I probably not. Who knows? Who the hell knows with all that stuff, because I don't know how fast they get those tests back. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But let's see. Anything, I think we already ran through everything I had on my notes here that like was really eye-popping. Well, I guess we can address the hidden hive that's definitely like just blown up over the weekend. Man, like, I guess it's nice. Well, I mean, it kind of happens, I guess, every year or two. I mean, I was a part of the Reeves hive, and unfortunately that hasn't worked out. So it's just kind of just that time of the year where we're going to just create a hive of somebody. He has like an interesting hashtag. I don't know what it stands for, but when I saw it, I thought it was like TMNT. So, you know, being a nerd, I thought he was talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is obviously not the case, but I misread it. I was like, oh, okay. It's something completely different. So what was your reaction of everybody loving Nate?
Oh boy. You know, it's hard because it's a preseason game, and he was in there with the third string group of two guys that were in there that I'm not sure beyond preseason if we'll ever see them again. So I didn't really care to read too much into it. It was great to see him be active. Got what, 8 rebounds? Yeah, he got 8 rebounds. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 8 points. And it was nice to see him get that kind of quick spurt of he got that offensive rebound, which was his first bucket, and then I think quickly turned around and hit an open 3. So it was nice to see him out there working hard, and he got that praise from Rick Carlisle. When it comes to players that are in his situation, you've got to see that consistently. And so it's, I guess, seeing the energy that he played with, you can expect to get that night in and night out, but is he going to continue to get those looks? Is he always going to be that aggressive? I think probably in the preseason he might be, but what we saw, 2 days ago, I'm not sure if you would see that in like a regular season game. So I think he's the type of guy that maybe he gets put on, maybe he sticks around with the G League team and continues to develop, and he becomes kind of a main guy on that Legends team. But as far as will he be on the active roster, will he be a guy that maybe works his way into the rotation, I don't quite see that being the case yet. I think he's got a lot more to prove. If he manages to find himself running in one of these preseason games with the reserve, with the immediate reserves, or even with like Luka or a couple of starters, then, and he's productive and he's hitting open threes. I think the biggest thing is, can you hit open threes? Because if he plays with that energy and he's kind of a pest like that on defense, well, then you can play that against anyone and you'll be a better defender than you know, probably Luka, and you can, there's always a spot for guys that are good defenders, but if you can hit the open three, that's when you, and you can hit it consistently, that's when you really kind of start to show your own value. So if I need to see him scoring consistently, I see Jesse's comment there about his time at Houston. And I just can't say that that's enough for me to give him a spot in the rotation right out of the gate, or even enough to have him on my final roster. So if he comes into these preseason games, and even if he is running with that third group, but leads them and really shows that he's got more to bring, then I'm okay with him. If he wants that 15th spot, I will say I wasn't super overly impressed with the Wundu. I thought he took, I mean, I know it's preseason, but I thought he took a couple of threes that were not good. They were not good decisions. And I don't want to say that that means, okay, well, he's going to take bad shots all the time. I know it's preseason, whatever. And I know it was just one game, but those are the types of things that I'm looking at. Are you making good decisions? Are you making the right plays? And Nate did that in that first game. He did that 10 times over. So I need to see consistency. I need to see him able to hit that three again consistently and continue to bring the effort, but I'm not quite sold on it yet. I know a lot of people are, but I'm not there yet.
Hey, and every G League team needs an Antonius Cleveland type, you know what I mean? So maybe he can gradually get better, and then maybe we've got a nice story to blossom over time. I just currently right now I just don't really foresee him bumping out like anybody right. Significant on the roster. And then, and if that was the case, I guess you would be like, okay, that's, he's playing his ass off, or it's like, whoa, what the hell happened with this guy? So
right.
There's always that narrative to kind of take the good with the bad type of thing. But
yeah, I think there's no reason that he can't be the guy for the Texas Legends. And maybe that's what gets him, pulled up on a team like Washington or somewhere else if he's really making a name for himself. But I think he's a little bit of a long-term guy, and maybe he is the guy for the Texas Legends, and then maybe, God forbid, you're looking at a couple of injuries and then he finds his way up with the group. I don't know. But Wes Iwundu, while I said just a second ago I wasn't super impressed, I think if he is more of like a it plays more of a slasher role and maybe limits the 3-point attempts, this is still a guy that started 25 games last year for a playoff team in the Orlando Magic. So I don't see a undrafted rookie out of Houston getting a final roster spot over a guy that started 25 games for a playoff team last year. So
agreed.
We'll just have to see where that goes, but I think there's a way in which you let Wes kind of finally have a chance in a system, and playing for a team with maybe a better culture than Orlando, maybe more of a winning culture, and maybe he just finds his way. Maybe he continues to develop that shot, and maybe Nate continues to develop while he's still very young with the G League team and with everybody down there, and then we'll be good to go from there.
So we've got game two tonight against the Bucks, and then we've got game three, Minnesota, Thursday. Is there anything specifically that you would like to see from the game tonight and then the game Thursday? I presume Thursday that'll be kind of like the draft, that'll be kind of like the second and third unit playing like the entire game. Luka might get like, I could see like the starters getting maybe like 5 minutes. I bet that that's the final game where, you know, those guys like Nate and Wes are really trying to like showcase like what they could do to try to make that final end to the roster or the a G League team specifically. I would say I definitely want to see a little bit more from Terry and Josh. I don't need Josh to be chunking up a whole bunch of threes, but just continue to show effort laterally on defense, like his ability to actually communicate if there's like a switch or something like that. Just have that open line of communication. Definitely would like to see the lineup create a shot other than Luka. Like I'm assuming they're throwing out the same guys out there, because I feel like if Maxie's out there starting, it's a little bit different based on what Maxie can do, different from Dwight. And Let's see. Nothing really of like, oh my God, I got to see this to like have my stroke. Like, you know, this is, I guess, like the luxury we have of not being like a playoff team. Potentially, we don't have like all these really like red concerns. I mean, mm-hmm. like we have, you know, MVP candidate Luka. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, we should be okay. There's not like all these glaring issues that we're just like, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just got to get KP out there and we should be good.
Yeah. I need to get KP out there and kind of see what that looks like. But other than that, yeah, as far as our guys go, I'm with you in that even tonight's game and then the final game, I really want to see Josh Green and Tyrell Terry. I want to see them kind of make the most of their minutes and see them, you know, I don't want to say show me something, but just, I don't know, establish themselves within the rotation, because I think they both will be on the final roster. And I don't know. I just want to see what we can expect from them. So we'll see. But yeah.
We'll see. I got kind of Antoine Walker vibes a little bit watching James Johnson out there. Game one, what do you think? Well, just because he, you know, they're obviously James Johnson is not as thick as Antoine Walker was, but I enjoyed James handling the ball. The 1-3 he took was like, oh, okay. That just confirmed my thoughts of him dominating that backup center position. And, you know, just again, no disrespect to Willie Cauley-Stein. I feel like, you know, Josh is pretty much superior in every stat line that you could think of when it comes to Willie. So I really enjoyed that. And I guess we can kind of finish up and talk about just any other games or storylines that you saw over the weekend. I didn't, unfortunately, get to watch as much other games as other people like that use locker room on the day to day. I really wish I had the time. I did see the revenge game one of Harry Giles versus Sacramento. That was very fun.
Oh, that was fun.
That was very fun. And I saw the first half of Katie and Kyrie last night, and I was like, man, that felt really good. I didn't have a chance to watch the Warriors game one with Curry coming back, but those were the games that I saw. I know a lot of people were making fun of LaMelo appears over the weekend with his 0 point stat line, and I think it was like 10 rebounds or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about LaMelo Ball putting up stats in a Hornets uniform. I think he'll be just fine doing all that. Yeah, I watched I think the first half of Brooklyn, who was it, Washington. Oh, poor Washington. But yeah, KD has not missed a beat. He's going to be just fine as well. I will say the media were already driving me absolutely crazy talking about the connection, the natural connection between KD and Kyrie and how they play like brothers and how they're just so in sync and on the same page. And it's just going to be the most beautiful thing ever because they're just so great together. Like, I'm happy for KD that he's healthy. That's great. But oh my God, they just got together. Like, oh, I hate it. I just it's killing me. But they're gonna be dangerous, man. They are. What, Caris LeVert wasn't even playing, and they all looked like they were just perfectly in sync out there. So, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, you forget like they are so deep. You've got like Torian Prince out there draining threes in transition. You got Shamit's
gonna be great there.
Yeah, he's gonna be really good there. And you've still got Allen. I mean, what they're gonna do with their big situation, I think, is kind of I don't want to say it's a mess, but I still would prefer them to have Allen in there. I agree. There's like that friendship with Jordan and everything like that, but I'm just like, dude, Allen's pretty good. And of course they've got the kiddo from Georgia too that didn't really play last year.
Yeah, Nick Claxton.
There you go, Claxton, that's another guy. So well, because like, especially the dude, they run DeAndre can't do that. Like, yeah. I don't he's going to just be clawed. Now, he could still be a suitable guy in the second tier, like their second unit to have.
Right.
Just based on what he can do, because, I mean, everybody still needs a guy to come off the bench and get some rebounds, but yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to run with that lineup.
Yeah, I don't see them moving him to the bench, but I just hate that for Jared Allen, because it seems like this DeAndre Jordan situation has been why they might consider why they were considering moving Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert to try and go get like James Harden or even Bradley Beal at one point. But I think the DeAndre, having DeAndre Jordan is why that's okay. But Jared Allen is a great young prospect. And I hate that DeAndre Jordan is this win now player that they've decided to bet on, because I think moving on from Jared Allen out of like convenience, I guess, is, I hate that move, because I don't know. It was a good draft pick. He showed a lot of potential, and now it's crazy to think that DeAndre Jordan is going to hinder his growth and maybe even send him packing because they think he's got a lot of trade value with the potential that he showed as a starter with D'Lo and that whole group. So I hate that, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. And shoot, if Dallas wants to hop in there on a Jared Allen thing, well, then by all means. But I think they're just going to sit and wait until a third piece is available and maybe package those guys, because in my mind, there's no reason that they have to rush and go trade anybody. I think if you continue to hold on to those three guys, you've got depth and you're going to continue to be very good. And then if a star comes available and you can get him with draft picks and those three, well, then that's what you do. But I don't know. I almost said New York. I don't think Brooklyn is in a position where they need to rush anything or even sell low on any of those. And I don't think they will. I don't think selling low is even in the cards. But I just hate the Jared Allen situation and how it how DeAndre Jordan will likely hinder his growth and maybe even send him back. And I can't tell you how much I hate that. Oof.
Yeah. I'm with you. I kind of felt like as soon as they signed DeAndre, they sent Jared Allen to Summer League. A lot of people forget that. They said, we got somebody that can do everything better than you, so you need to work on your perimeter game, which I'm just like, that seems really dumb, but whatever, sure. I mean, I got, that's the price of poker and the price mm-hmm. you have to pay to accommodate these superstars sometimes. And if there's that one guy that they need to have to sign the dotted line, then kind of is what it is, but whatever. But yeah, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. This was trial one in our daily Monday spot for the podcast. And if we do have any other additional spots throughout the week, if we chime in for any type of post games or anything like that, obviously we'll probably hop in and record. And we'll obviously have the conversation published through our podcast feeds as well. So be sure to check that out, and really appreciate everybody. And Lauren, did you have anything else?
No, I didn't. I guess thank you to everyone for hopping in here and providing some comments throughout the hour. That was fun. And yeah, I guess we will see you guys on Monday.
Fist bumps, high fives, and go Maps.
I'm sick of this. This conversation is over. I'm done talking to you. Hit my music. I'm out of here.